We're in this journey to go to Jesus, or the story that leads to Jesus. And in this story, we have mostly reflected on texts in the Old Testament. And sometimes we wonder, why do we get stuck there? Shouldn't we not move into the New Testament right away and share the things that are there in the New Testament about Jesus? Well, matter of fact is that the early disciples didn't have the New Testament. They had only the Old Testament, and that was the basis of their understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we have already looked into the fact that God has revealed a special plan in Abraham. We have mentioned that last week, and we'll continue this thought today. And our theme and our topic today will be how to be the blessing. And I want you to pay attention, because in my own preparation, I changed the title, actually, because it started out differently, because I started out thinking of talking about how to be a blessing, how to be a blessing. And that would be a good thing to talk about, how to be a blessing. We use this word in so many ways and so many forms, and sometimes we even express it and say, I am so blessed. You know, when we look into how we live and what we all have and whether we are healthy and have a good income and all the other things that we may include in this simple sentence, I am so blessed. It could be my family and the friends that I have in my life that make my life rich. And I would say, I am so blessed. And when we use that word, a blessing, then we also, or to be a blessing, then we usually relate that to doing something good. And that's a good thing to do. I do think that we are called to be a blessing. And if I would give you time this morning to reflect on your own life and think about the fact, who was a blessing to you, or it is a blessing to you right now, I would think that there were several people that would come to your mind that you can say, yeah, I had certain people at some crossroads in my life that were a blessing to me. May it be that they helped you out in material ways, or they were just there to be good friends to you, or they just supported you, or they just told you they prayed for you, and you could say they were a blessing to me. I have those people in my life, a lot of them, that I recall when I say they were a blessing to me, a real blessing to me at a certain time in my life when I needed comfort, strength. But this morning I want to talk about the blessing, how to be the blessing, a very specific blessing. A blessing that is rooted in what we have started talking about last week. The blessing that came through Abraham. And how to be that kind of blessing to the people around me. We are called to be conduits of God's blessing. And that goes above and beyond doing good things or to others, or loving my neighbor, which are included, but it goes above and beyond, because that we often receive from people who are not necessarily followers of Jesus Christ. And people are able to be good. We can have good neighbors, and I'm thankful for them, although they might not follow Jesus Christ. They might not be Christians. But see, this is not what we talk about when we mention, when we say to be the blessing. It is interesting, just to put it in a different context, that in the New Testament, this word to be a blessing is probably phrased differently. It is phrased more like to bear fruit. We heard that too. If you're long enough in church, you hear that we bear fruit. We heard about the fruit of the Spirit. We heard about how to bear fruit in John 15. You know how we are in Christ is the wine, and we are a branch, and then we are on these branches, and we bear fruit. And if you think about that, that's the same idea. You know, to bear fruit is not that we are exerting all strength that is in us to bear fruit. And sometimes, I'm sorry, but we even hear sermons about Galatians 5:22, when it talks about, you know, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, that we have to produce them. But if you look into the text, it says nowhere that we're supposed to produce them. But that fruit is always the result of a healthy connection to whoever we are, or whatever we are connected to. And the vine is, if the vine is in a good soil and we're connected to the vine, we are drawing out on the juices that come from the soil, and we will produce fruit. Every good tree, every good plant bears fruit. And that's the same idea when we are connected with God. Bearing fruit is the result, and here we come back to John 15, is the result of staying or abiding in Christ. Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. My focus is on abiding in Jesus. It is abiding, staying close to Him, staying in contact with Him. And that is the essence of what we talk about when we talk about being a blessing. I want to go back this morning to the text that we already heard and read last week, and we will come back to this morning, and look into this text and say, what does it tell us about being the blessing to people? We also mentioned last week that this kind of blessing has two dimensions, vertical and horizontal. It is rooted in my vertical relationship, meaning with my relationship to God. And it then has consequences to my relationship with other people. But this relationship with God and to God is what we are focusing on today. And there are six things that I would like to highlight, five of them only today, and God willing, the last one next week. The first five are, or the six in total, are six actions, six things that are necessary to be the blessing. Believing, leaving, going, trusting, obeying, and being. Six ingredients. They're all interconnected. They're all not necessarily separate in some ways, but they are, just in case for this morning, to look at them. So the first thing to be the blessing that God intends you and me to be is believing. Believing. The first thing I need to ask myself before I enter into this venture of being the blessing is, do you believe that this is the solution for this world? Are you convinced that this is what my neighbor needs to understand? Are you convinced that what God is up to, what He has in mind, what God has been planning for thousands of years, and what He has brought to fruition in Jesus Christ, are you convinced that this is what the people around me need to know? Are you convinced that this is what the world needs to know? Let me remind again what it is, blessing. And blessing included fruitfulness, abundance, rest, well-being. Or a good Hebrew word for that is shalom. The world needs shalom, well-being. And shalom is foreshadowed in the Sabbath, in rest, where God is just blessing us for just being in His presence, doing nothing but worship. And B, do you believe that shalom is what people need? Do you really believe that? You know, any movement, any endeavor has only as much staying power as the people who are driving this forward are convicted that this is what needs to be done. If you lose the conviction, if you lose the faith, if you don't believe that this is really good anymore, it will fade. May I say that Christianity has often failed because that was missing. That the followers of Jesus Christ did not truly believe that the message of Jesus, the blessing that God wants to bring to us, is really what is needed today. So our first question today, or the first thing that we need to consider, is believing. Do you believe this? That this is what is good. What is really good. That what God planned 2,000 years ago in Abraham when he said that all nations will be blessed through you, that this is good. Secondly, if you do so, the next step would be leaving. God's command to Abraham was leave and go. Going included leaving. Abraham needed to leave a specific place and to go elsewhere. And only in Abraham's leaving was the blessing released to the nations. Leaving is challenging. Leaving is uncomfortable. It means leaving behind predictability and control. God said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household." Abraham's family lived in Babylon. Babel stands in the Old Testament as a symbol for the human attempt to bring back hope, to bring a solution to the disaster that humankind had created up to this day. So they build this tower and try to unify humankind again and bring hope to a new nation. But the attempt, as we know, failed. The realization is true that the greatest human civilizations cannot solve the deepest human problems. The greatest human civilizations cannot solve the deepest human problems. That was the simple solution of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Now, to release God's blessing meant now for Abraham to break and depart from the world that he got to know up to this point, to this world that he was part of, to this style, the lifestyle that he was accustomed to the people that he actually was surrounded with. It meant leaving that part of the world behind, recognizing its nature, its claims, its ideologies. It doesn't mean to become otherworldly. We are not meant to leave this world per se, as Abraham didn't leave this world, but he had to change his mindset. What does it mean for you and for me today if God would come to us and say, leave, leave? It could mean that God asks us to leave our country, our people, and our family. And thousands of Christ followers before us have followed that call and have done that. And have followed Jesus into the mission field and have left their comfort zones behind. In fact, we may only be here today because hundreds of years ago, some may have done that, left that, left behind all of that in order for the blessing to be released. Is God calling you to leave that behind? And I challenge you, young people, who are often on the career path so early on, and nothing wrong with that. But could also there be a chance that God is calling you to leave that comfort zone behind? Calling or leaving could also mean that God calls us for a career change. Maybe that's what he wants us to do. Change your career in order to be the blessing in a new place, under new circumstances, maybe with a new job. God still puts a call onto our lives. And following Jesus always means to leave something behind. But what it means for all of us, for everyone who follows Jesus, is to leave behind an old mindset, old value system, an old way of life, a life that doesn't work on its own, where this little thing comes in that we will have talked about and we'll talk about it again, where we need to trust that the way of Jesus is better than my own way. The way of Jesus is better than the way that this world lives. But you have to leave. A New Testament word, again, is something different when it says repentance. Repent means to change your mind. to change the direction of your thinking. And that's the same thing. You leave an old pattern of thinking behind and you just align yourself with Jesus and say, this is what I want to do from now on. I want to follow Jesus. What is it that God is calling you to leave behind to release the blessing? And the next step then is going. To leave also means to go. And to go means to follow. It's interesting in this story of Abraham that God did not provide Abraham with a roadmap and said, so I call you out of all the comfort zones that you are, and here's the map, here's the road that you need to go, and here's where you need to go. God only said, I will show you. And if that is true, what God did there, then nothing changed with Jesus. When God simply said, in other words, come, follow me. That's enough. Trust me. I will bring you where you need to go. Just trust me. That's actually discipleship. That's all it is. We invite Jesus into our lives and we invite Jesus to, when we follow the invitation that Jesus gives, to come to him and then to follow him, which always meant to leave my old life behind. It's Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said it in so pregnant words. What's the shortest way of expressing or explaining discipleship? Follow me. Technically, you have nothing to add to this. This is it. Discipleship is follow Jesus. And as you do, you have to change a lot of things. You have to leave behind where you were, and you have to follow him. That also means you have to know where he's going. That means you have to stay in touch with Jesus. You have to know where he is, what he's up to, what he's thinking, what he wants you to do. So it is a very active process to just follow those simple two words, follow me. Well, I tell you what, this is nothing for control freaks. When you want to control everything, control every step of your life, when you want to know beforehand, best the 3-4 days before everything that needs to be known of the journey that you're up to, that you're going on, this will freak you out. But this is what Jesus called Abraham to do, what God called Abraham to do. And that's what God calls you and me to do when Jesus calls us. But to be honest, even those who plan out their life, I want to ask you, did it ever pan out the way you thought? Nope. So many variables that determine our life, where we have no control over, but we still think we have control. Why not just let it go and follow Jesus? And it also means that we are called to go and not wait until they come. Go. Go to where the people are. Go to the place where God sends us. Go to those people around us, to the corners and to the street corners and wherever they are, that we go and spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And going and following doesn't mean to turn off our brain. If we study the Apostle Paul, he had a plan. He had a strategy and his own missional endeavor. But he was always in tune with God. And how many times in the book of Acts we read where God said, hey, stop, not here. And then he had to change plan. It is this journey where we are cooperating with him, listening carefully, but also using what God has given us in gifts in our journey. To be the blessing means that you believe that this is what the world needs. To be the blessing means you need to leave where you are. It means to go where God sends you. And fourthly, it means to trust, trusting. To follow means to trust the person I'm following. Abraham is known for his trust. It says in this text, and God says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So God made promises to Abraham. He didn't just send him off with nothing. And God's covenant with Abraham was, in one way, unconditional and conditional at the same time. Unconditional in a way that it didn't depend on any merit or anything that Abraham had to bring to the table before God called him. God just called him. As he called you or me. God doesn't look at our resume first and say, let's check out. Who is this? What you bring to the table? God calls every person randomly, freely, without condition, without pre-existing condition. In fact, Jesus said and goes so far and says, I came to call who? Sinners. Totally unqualified. But I go and call them. So it's unconditional that the call and to be a blessing doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of life we have lived. We all have the chance to enter into this blessing and to be this blessing. But it's then also conditional because it depended now on Abraham's trusting, on leaving and going. To say it very simple, no leaving, no blessing. Very simple. No leaving and going, no blessing. It is now following up on that and trusting now that what Jesus says is true. And trust is not what we do once and for all. Trust is what we do whenever we are challenged again and again and again, when obstacles are mounting in our lives and when our mind sometimes even plays tricks. We say, God, and I trust you. And Abraham was this kind of example where he was tested over and over in his life that he lived here on earth. And we can read it in the book of Genesis. Even to the point of sacrificing his son when he was challenged to do that. And God, well, he was withhold on that. But when he was challenged to sacrifice his son, Abraham was challenged to trust. You trust every day, every moment. Every step, you just say, Jesus, I trust in you. It's like putting your hand into somebody who drives you from A to B. It's always a huge step of trust. I know when I taught my kids driving, that was a huge trust in the first weeks and months. To step into the car and let them drive. You trust. And when you're in an area that you have no idea where you are, and you put yourself in the hand of a guide, and you trust. That the person will guide you where you need to go. That's trust. And you do it all along, every step of the way. And trusting leads always to the next step, or must lead to the next step, and that is obeying. Trust needs to be evidenced by obedience. Trust can sometimes be just pretty words or a noble attitude. Oh, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my life is whole. Yeah, right. Do you show that? Are you obeying Him? Do what He says? As I said, trust is always needs to be evidenced by obedience. There is a very simple sentence that follows those three verses in Genesis 12. And I love that. It says in Genesis 12, verse 4, so Abraham went. Very basic. Simple, but so big. Here was a huge statement, a huge challenge of God to him. Go out, leave all of this behind. Go to a place that I lead you, and I will bless you. And God pours all of that out, and then it says, and Abraham went as the Lord had told him. No fuss, no discussion. No, wait a minute, you know, are there some more guarantees? Can I negotiate a little bit? You know, can I figure out, you know, maybe that my plans are also somewhere with your plans? Abraham went. It's the same, by the way, later on when he was called to sacrifice his son and God challenged his obedience. And it says, and Abraham went. Very simple. How often is your and my obedience hampered by second thoughts or doubts? To go and to follow means to obey. Obedience is submission. It is connected with trusting. And it is exactly for that that Abraham came to be known. It's quoted several times in the New Testament as an example of doing exactly that, of trusting. He would have never made it into the New Testament without that, without simply obeying God. And we don't have time this morning to go through all the text. It's in Romans 4, Galatians 3, James 2, Hebrew 11. But here it says, and let me just read this one verse, Hebrew 11 verse 8, but by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God's intention to bless all nations is combined with a human commitment to obedience. It is dependent on your and my obedience to Christ. There is no blessing for us, nor for others, without believing, leaving, going, trusting, obeying. And God willing, next time we look into being. So be the blessing. Do you believe in God's intention to bless all people? Do you believe that God's blessing is the answer to the problems people are facing today? What mindset or even lifestyle is God asking you today to leave behind? Where does God call you to go? Where is He challenging me or you to trust Him and obeying Him? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we're invited to spread Your blessing into our generation, the people we live with in 2022, here in Edmonton, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. We are called to be the blessing, agents of Your blessing, to let people know around us that You are good, that You have good plans, that living with You and obeying You is the best thing we could do in our lives. There we find rest, peace, true shalom. And how many people around us are longing for that in their stress, their messed up relationships, the burdens that they carry, the diseases and illnesses with which they are plagued, and facing death without hope. God, people need the blessing. They need to hear of You, and that there is more to life than dying. There's more to life than just existing. There is life in abundance. There is blessing. Help us, God, to be the agents of blessing as we go from this place, as we follow those simple steps that Abraham followed before us. We pray this in Your name.